Welcome to Deconstructed. I'm TJ O'Hara, the principal political analyst for IVN, the Independent Voter News. Our goal on Deconstructed is to break down important political issues with outstanding guests so you can develop your own more informed opinion. My guest today is David Nevins, a successful business leader and strong advocate for closing the political divide. Mr. Nevins is co-founder and chair of the Bridge Alliance, a coalition of approximately 100 organizations working together as active stewards of our democratic republic. He is a member of the Aspen Institute Society of Fellows with a focus on the Aspen Rodel Fellowship in Public Leadership. Mr. Nevins also established and continues to work with the Nevins Democracy Leaders Program at Penn State University, from which he received his undergraduate degree to go along with his MBA from Wharton. Mr. Nevins joins me today to talk about the Bridge Alliance and two of its projects, Citizen Connect, which is focused on healing our political divides and strengthening democracy, and the Fulcrum, which offers a platform where insiders and outsiders to politics are informed, meet, talk, and actually repair our democracy and make it work in our everyday lives. Welcome to Deconstructed, David.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
David, you seem to believe in a hands-on approach to democracy and civic engagement. What motivated you to become involved in the world of politics?
That's an interesting question. I've always been an outsider. I've never done anything in politics until about 12 years ago. I always followed it very closely in the news, but I never became involved. I always thought it was dysfunctional. It lacked civility and critical thinking that I was used to in the business world, where we had a problem and we solved it, and I didn't see government doing that. But I never got involved until one day I was watching a TV show. I think it was in 2010, maybe 11. And it was the start of an organization called No Labels. They're a Washington, D.C. organization. There's now something called the Problem Solvers Caucus. And it piqued my interest. And I contacted them. And one thing led to another. And within 3 or 4 months, I was on their executive board and learned about the process of bipartisanship and working together to try to create a healthier self-governance in our country. And through my work with them, I discovered the Aspen Institute, which was doing great work in this area, plus hundreds of other organizations around the country that I wasn't even aware of that was doing this work. So after my time with No Labels, I came to the conclusion with others that we needed some infrastructure to tie it all together. All these organizations were working independently, and no matter how well managed, no matter how well funded any one of them is, to make significant political social reform, there needed to be some connectivity to tie it together. And out of that grew the Bridge Alliance, which I co-founded and am now the chairman of the board.
In your words, what does the Bridge Alliance do, and why was it important to establish it?
I think it was important because there was no ecosystem. There were all these incredibly talented social entrepreneurs dedicated to a new way of self-governance, whether it was political reform, many organizations dealing with issues like campaign financing reform or voter issues or gerrymandering reform, or organizations who were more on the cultural end of it in terms of bridging the divide and how to have conversations and find common ground. But they were all working independently. And even though they were well-funded, in all the organizations, I created a spreadsheet. At the time when I did this, there was $800 million in annual budgets, but they were all working independently. And I believe that there needed to be some collective impact through coordinated activities to create some type of common agenda, some type of mutual reinforcing activities, and a communication stream to effectively harness the power that was there and is still there.
Now, the Bridge Alliance has five principles that I found to be very interesting. So let's start with embracing differences. What does that principle mean within the context of the Bridge Alliance?
Well, we truly are nonpartisan. And embracing differences is the realization that those on the left, those on the right, and those who are independents all have something to contribute to the conversation. Most people go into political debates already having their opinion and then finding the facts to justify the opinion they already have. And we believe in just the opposite, that we all have a biases, obviously, we can't deny that, but try to recognize that we do, go into discussions with an open mind and realize that there are good things from all sides of the equation, and hopefully that'll result in the best solutions to very significant problems that our country faces.
Now, the second principle is collaboration. So speak to that, please.
That is almost self-evident to me. No matter how smart any individual is, he needs a team. You know, we all learn from others. And I believe in a term being bandied around now is new power as opposed to old power. And I believe that great organizations, it doesn't start at the top and work its way down. It really is the opposite. It's bottoms-up approach. And we really do have to collaborate as a team in a corporation or a business. And as a country, we need to collaborate, as opposed to each separate entity or lobby group working independently.
The Bridge Alliance's third principle is one of a citizen's voice. What does the Alliance mean by a citizen's voice?
Well, that might be one of the most important ones, and we'll get into that later related to some of the projects of the Bridge Alliance. But I really do believe in the principle of we the people. Yes, I'm aware of the fact that people have lives, they have jobs, they have children, they have other things in their lives. But I believe strongly in civic engagement and that we really do have the power to alter the direction of our government, whether on the local level, state or federal level. And there's all different levels of involvement. It doesn't mean running for office. It could be as little as just staying on top of the news, voting certainly, but all different levels of civic engagement that really can move the ball to, again, solve the problems facing our country.
The Bridge Alliance also focuses on solutions, and I love the way they distinguish good faith problem solving. Distinguish that from bad faith problem solving, which we tend to run into in the political world.
Yes. Well, bad faith problem solving, I witnessed this in my early days in this process, where you'd get a supposedly bipartisan group of congressmen together to try to work through their problems. And they all said they came there in good faith with an open mind. And some did, but most really already had their strong opinions and saw it more as a negotiating approach as opposed to a collaborative approach, finding the best from both sides and ultimately come up with the best solutions to the problems that we have to address.
And the final principle that the Bridge Alliance references is open-mindedness. What does the Alliance mean by that?
The world is changing at an incredibly fast pace, almost at a geometric pace because of technology primarily. So we have to be open-minded to how the world has changed. If we're closed-minded and set in our ways and try to go back to the past, again, we're going to fall behind in the world. So we have to be open-minded to new ideas, new concepts that we haven't heard of before. It doesn't mean accepting blindly something new that someone tells you, but it means using your own common sense, your own deductive reasoning to determine what are good ideas and what are not, as opposed to using social media to listen to stuff and automatically accept concepts without really carefully analyzing new ideas, which are generated at such a fast clip that if we don't do so, we're just going to fall behind.
Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, the Bridge Alliance is comprised of approximately 100 different organizations. What do you do to help those organizations move forward?
We do quite a bit. One, our staff, we have a staff of roughly 8 or 9 people. We try to be in contact with them on a regular basis so we just know what's going on. I mean, that in and of itself has value. But above and beyond that, we send them weekly updates with information of what's going on in the field, what resources are available to them in terms of potential funding. We have a media consultant we work with on a full-time basis where our members could have one-on-one sessions with the media consultant to determine how are they effectively communicating their mission to funders, to the public, to the media, how can they get the word out. So we try to provide a lot of help in that way to our members. Early on in 2017, we provided over $500,000 in action grants to our members, and we were trying to increase the collaboration within the Bridge Alliance. So what we did was these projects that we provided funding for, it was only if at least three organizations worked together. We weren't giving funding for one organization. We were trying to build on this concept of collective impact. And what we found through the grant making process is a lot of these organizations were working on the exact same thing, but working separately. So that was very successful. And what was really fascinating about it, because of the limited funds, we could only provide roughly 10 of these grants, and we probably got 30 applications. But through the application process, a lot of these organizations started working together to learn about how to apply for the grant. And even though they didn't get the funding, they developed the relationships, which even now, 3 years later, 4 years later, are still existing and have still proven the point that collaboration is a key to the movement. We call it a movement, whether you call it the cross-partisan movement, bipartisan movement, whatever. You really need more collaboration and interconnectivity.
Outstanding. David, we're going to take a quick break and talk about Citizen Connect when we come back. Welcome back. My guest today is David Nevins, chair of the Bridge Alliance and a champion of nonpartisan political participation. David, one of the Bridge Alliance initiatives is something called Citizen Connect. Now, what exactly is Citizen Connect?
Citizen Connect is a nonpartisan platform dedicated to helping Americans, regardless of your political feelings or affiliation, finding ways for them to become involved in the political process, the bipartisan process of moving our country forward.
And how does that work?
Well, we have a website called citizenconnect.us. It has a database of, it keeps growing, so I might be off a little, of 400 organizations around the country working in so many ways to bridge the divide, to find solutions to the great problems facing our country. And you can go to the website, you can punch in what is your particular area of interest, or you can just do it alphabetically and see if anything interests you in terms of an organization. And then it helps you connect with that organization and become involved in any way you want. In addition, if you don't really want to get involved with an organization, but maybe attend an event, and there's tons of them, there's an event calendar, which could be a webinar in the pre-COVID days, and it's starting to happen again, live events, where you could learn, become involved, various areas of the bipartisan political movement.
Now, you've given an example of some of the events. What about the member organizations? What type of organizations could you share as an example?
Well, there's, with over 400 of them, I could give you an example of particular ones, but more generally speaking, they are divided into three broad categories. There are organizations who are dealing with electoral systems and campaign reform, whether that's making it easier for independents to get elected, gerrymandering reform, things of that nature, campaign financing reform. And then there's organizations that are involved in governance and policy making. So if you have a particular interest in tax policy or immigration policy or whatever the policy might be, you can connect in an organization that would be working in that particular policy area. And then at least one third, if not more, are organizations involved in civic engagement. Civic engagement could be helping K through 12 students learn more about democracy, because the future does rest with our children. And if our children don't have a sense of democracy, our democracy is doomed to fail. So you can become involved in helping civic education K through 12. You can become involved in many, many Bridging the Divide events, where you have conversations with people you normally would never talk to if you're left of center. There are events which would pair you up with someone who is right of center. If you're urban, it would pair you up with someone who's rural, et cetera, to try to help citizens realize the diversity of America is really a plus, and we have to learn to work together to create the healthy self-governance that we feel it's incumbent upon Americans to work for and believe in.
Would it be fair to say that you feel that Citizen Connect empowers citizens to become more involved, both politically and socially?
Definitely. It's premised on our deep faith in the power of Americans to make a difference. if they choose to. So we're simply trying to help those who choose to find a path forward that reflects their values, not our values. We're not trying to push them in a particular direction, but reflects their values so that they can participate more, be more engaged in a civic manner. And we believe the whole process is tremendously rewarding. We've already gotten that input of those who wanted to do something but had no idea of how to do so. And this is relatively new. And we're in the learning stage. Like any new technology, we're learning. But we hope it grows significantly and engages millions of Americans in becoming more involved in our democratic process.
With Citizen Connect, do you, among your 400 member organizations, also provide politically biased organizations access to those if somebody wants to become involved in something that is associated with the Democrat Party or the Republican Party or Libertarian and so forth? Or are they more blended?
They're more blended. I wouldn't say that we rule out of the 400 organizations involved those organizations who might have an agenda, but we do want them to be open-minded. We do want them to believe in the collaborative process. We do want them to believe that we're better off by engaging all Americans in the decision-making process. If they're not willing to do that, then they wouldn't be listed in Citizen Connect. We do have a very specific criteria, which I don't have right in front of me, but it's generally this concept of critical thinking, certainly civility, and certainly open-mindedness.
What success stories can you offer?
Well, it's new at this point. But having said that, even in the short time that Citizen Connect has existed, we have stories of high school kids who knew little about democracy or could care little about democracy, who found out that there are organizations that you can find on Citizen Connect who are specifically focused and made up of college students. There's an organization called Bridge USA, which is run by and for college students. I don't think most college students realize that an organization particularly for them even exists. So we have examples of that. We have examples of community leaders in urban areas who are working to solve a problem in their particular community. And through Citizen Connect, they were able to find other organizations within their general proximity that they could connect with, who could help them, provide them additional resources, not just financial resources, but resources in terms of collaborative process and creating deliberative dialogue opportunities so that they could work more closely with other organizations.
Given that most people aren't even aware that they're behaviorally conditioned through cognitive biases like in-group behavior and confirmation bias, et cetera, how do you enforce the separation of values and priorities from political agendas within those groups?
Well, the word enforce, I guess I don't like that word. Maybe it's moral suasion would be a better word. Again, Citizen Connect was just launched about 6 weeks ago. So if you ask me a year from now, I'll probably have some real life stories to tell you. But I think it's all about communication. I don't think it's, if someone did something outrageous, that was obviously discriminatory or whatever, that's one story. But things on the margin, I think it's more a sense of communication and having discussions with them, whether they believe in our purpose, whether they believe in the general concept of working together, the general concept of a pluralistic society, and we have to reach out to all Americans to find the best solution. So I think it's more a question of discussions, and you get a feel, and it's relationships. So much of what we do is building relationships, and I look at that it more in that direction as opposed to enforcement.
Well, David, we're going to take a quick break and talk about the fulcrum when we come back. Welcome back. My guest today is David Nevins, chair of the Bridge Alliance, a longtime student of leadership and a tireless advocate for political civility. David, let's talk about another Bridge Alliance initiative, the Fulcrum. You haven't been involved with the Fulcrum directly through the Bridge Alliance until recently, as it's now funded by the Bridge Alliance Education Fund. So what is the mission of the Fulcrum?
The Fulcrum is a digital news source that's meant for insiders and outsiders to meet, to talk, to act, to repair our democracy, to brainstorm, to consider the possibilities with the goal of creating a healthier self-governance for the American people and to involve them in this thought process.
Now, the fulcrum is positioned to serve an important role in harnessing the tensions of the differences in the nation to strengthen that bond between us. How exactly does it do that?
Well, we really try to have a balanced approach. That's the key. So it's very easy to have a one-sided approach to whatever the issue of the day is, whether it's voting rights or immigration. We try to have a balanced approach. We would hope that we don't come across as progressive. We hope we don't come across as conservative, but present all viewpoints with the goal of finding the best solutions from the left, the best solutions from the right, and engaging in conversations to get people to really think critically about the problems facing our country.
How is the fulcrum structured from an editorial perspective?
We have quite a few guest columnists who basically have agreed to these standards and who try to reflect in a nonpartisan manner. Yes, we all have our biases, but to try to look at various problems in a totally innovative manner. So, for example, voting rights, it's top of news these days. The various legislation passed in certain states, it's become a very polarized issue. We try to discuss both sides of the equation in a balanced manner so our readers can have a better understanding of the intricacies of what's involved. You know, so much of the news media tries to simplify things. It's either this or that. And most things aren't that simple. They're very complex. Now, within the complexity, you're going to lose readers because most Americans have a life to live and don't want to get into the, you know, incredible details involved in all the issues. So in mid-September, we're going to announce a new fulcrum, and we're going to engage people in a different manner that's going to be a little less wonky, a little less focused on the details of policy, and connecting them more in a pop culture manner to democracy and self-governance.
So you'll continue to report on important political reform news, but you're going to add additional things of pop culture, such as what, music?
Yeah,
dance,
well,
arts.
You hit the nail on the head. Music, poetry, dance, theater, celebrity news, sports, even comedy. If you think back historically in our country, the old Johnny Carson show, I mean, Bob Hope, they all dealt with politics in a comedic fashion. So to engage Americans, I think we have to bring pop culture and see the connectivity of what we are as Americans in our pop culture and connect it to democracy. If you think about the great movements in recent times, the civil rights movement or the movement in the late 60s regarding the Vietnam War, or even dealing with a famine in Africa 20 years ago, music was a huge part of invigorating, exciting, and engaging citizens. And we hope to bring music and the arts and dance and theater to the fulcrum to bring a whole new generation into thinking about democracy.
I think that's an excellent approach. I lecture on the neuroscience of behavior. And one of the things that's missing in a lot of what we do in organizations and in platforms is that we isolate on politics, which can evolve into divisive arguments. When you talk about art, you talk about music, you talk about theater, you're looking at common human threads. And I think that's very, very interesting that you're blending that in with the new fulcrum to almost as a buffer. Is that how you perceived it, to do something to tamp down the emotional element of the political environment?
Definitely. You know, we're about to celebrate the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So in the context of what I'm talking about, I was just reviewing what happened 20 years ago on September 11th. And a week after September 11th, there was a huge togetherness in the country. And there was a musical event held 10 days after, on the 21st. And the power of the music to bring us together as Americans just really impacted on me. And I think we can do it again, to find what we have in common rather than what separates us.
One of the most critical issues, I would assume, is the ability to verify the accuracy and the credibility of the political information where you're showing both sides. So how would you compare your ability to vet that information as opposed to some of the controversy associated with Facebook and Twitter, for example?
Well, I don't think we have a magic wand to determine what's truth and what's not truth. I think we're in a different realm from Facebook. We're not an open source platform. And I think they have an important role to serve in allowing more voices. We're a digital publication with an editorial board, with staff writers. So while we encourage citizens to respond to our news stories, to our videos, to our musical content, it's not open source. So obviously we have a chance to read it first. And if it represents strong views, we're not against that, as long as it's strong views that aren't trying to separate us, that aren't blatantly false. You know, what is fact and what is not fact is debatable. And sometimes we represent stories that bring up that exact point. But we try to emphasize the fact that if someone says this is a fact, well, it might not be. It is for you as the reader to determine.
David, in the limited amount of time we have left, where can our listeners go to learn more about you and the various projects that are on your plate?
Well, I don't think I'm that important, but I think they can go to thefulcrum.us or citizenconnect.us or thebridgealliance.us. All three of those will, certainly thebridgealliance.us will connect you to Citizen Connect or The Fulcrum. But I'd love everybody to subscribe to The Fulcrum, thefulcrum.us. There's no cost. And by mid-September, there'll be a new Fulcrum. And we'd love you to engage in the pop culture section and see what moves you and perhaps send us other ideas of yours as to what in our culture, whether it's sports, celebrity, technology, American heroes, what excites you, and give us your ideas, and it might be in the Fulcrum in the next issue.
David Nevins, what a pleasure it's been to have you on the show. I admire what you've already accomplished and the various ways you're trying to bring people together to solve our nation's challenges. I truly wish you and your colleagues success, and thank you again for joining me on Deconstructed.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Thank you.